Welcome again to our selection from the Psalms, and we're going to have a look at Psalm 84. It starts off with these beautiful words, "How aimable are thy tabernacles." You know, the tabernacles speak of the sanctuary of God. They speak of those places where God dwells. And we could say, well, they speak about churches. And what a wonderful thing it is to come into church, come into the sanctuary of God, and to be able just to sit there and feel his presence. And we say, how pleasant it is just to sit in church and experience his glorious presence. And that is, of course, as members of the congregation, pastors, we should do, oh God, fill this place with your presence, so that when we come in and sit in church, oh, we just want to sit there. Just sit there. Feel his presence. And all that presence to permeate every pore of our being. And oh, we just feel so wonderful. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O God. And then he cries out, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." And you know, sometimes when we have to be away from our own church, where we're so comfortable in and we just enjoy, you know, his presence and the presence of other members of the congregation, we have to leave. We have to go perhaps on a business trip, or we have to go away on vacation, or for some other reason we are away. And we go into some other place and it just doesn't feel the same, does it? We say, oh, how I long for the courts of the Lord. How I long for the courts of the Lord. How I long to get back to my own church, where I feel so comfortable and to feel his presence. Yes. And then it goes on, you see. A deeper longing. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You know, somehow in life, and especially I think when you get older, you know, you don't go after things. Things do not satisfy you. And I've been talking to a number of pastors just recently, in fact, you know, Christians as a whole and in different parts of the world, and they say to me, you know, as we get older, somehow things do not satisfy. That's not what we want. I remember a famous British general, and you might know his name, Field Marshal Lord Montgomery. He said, when you get older, you know, you're not attracted to things. Somehow they no longer satisfy. Well, they're not intended to satisfy. You see, God wants us to be satisfied by his presence and by himself. And so that's one of the things why these things of the world start to fall off us. You know, that which when we were young we counted so important. But as we get older, oh no, those things mean absolutely nothing. When we were younger, we may have striven for them. You know, under peer pressure, to be like others, to possess the same things they possessed. No, they no longer satisfy. One of the things that people yearn for when they're young is a house. And it almost becomes idolatrous, these houses. You know, we must have this and that, this knick-knack and that. The carpets must be so forth, the drapes so forth. And it's so important how our house looks to us. Do you know, my wife and I were introduced to a very influential lady in a very important church in the Midwest. And the pastor asked this lady to take care of us. And, you know, out of courtesy, my wife, when we went into the house, started commenting on the beauty of the house and how well it was kept and, you know, how well it was arranged. And the lady said, you know, yes, that's true. She said, I put a lot of work into this house. She said, it was almost my idol. And one of the things that was so important to me was that I could receive my pastor, who happened to be a lady, my pastor into this house and indeed give her a meal, entertain her. And she said the time came when that eventuated. And my pastor came to my house. She said I was so proud of it. And my pastor was very nice and kind and looked at my house and commented on it and so forth. But she said, after my pastor had left, she said, somehow I felt an emptiness. And I realized, you know, the house didn't mean much. What really meant much was God in my house. And her thoughts changed. And she was more concerned that the presence of God dwelt in her house than all the knickknacks and things. And the result was that her house no longer became known for its beauty, but for the presence of God there. Well, there we are. And then in verse 3, you see King David is moving on. He said, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. And didn't the Lord Jesus Christ speak on this? He said, well, the sparrow has a nest, the fox has a hole. He said, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he then says, but blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. And all the, shall I say, the anguish that a pastor has when he looks back over just a few years to those who once attended church but now attend no longer. For one reason or another, they were deflected. It may have been an offense that came to try them, and they failed. They failed of the grace of God. They're no longer there. You see, the thought is this: dwell. A constant abiding, a constant remaining, a constant dwelling in the house of God. You know, I was in New Zealand a number of years ago, and there was a celebration. I think it was in the city of Christchurch, and it was very unique. The celebration consisted of the fact that there was a lady in that church that had been there at the inception of that church and had been there for, I think it was 70 years. And she had been there from a girl at the age of about 18. Now here she was, about 88 years of age, a bit frail of stature, physically she wasn't strong, but every Sunday she had been without fail in the congregation. Her attendance was perfect. Now, I think that is extremely unique, 70 years. But you see, she had dwelt in the house of the Lord forever. I think now she's passed on and she's dwelling in a better house. But there we are, you see, how we need to cry out, O Lord, keep me faithful, that I may dwell in thy house and be still praising thee. You know, our attitude, that we would still be grateful for the house of the Lord forever. Well, we move on. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. Here is one of the blessings. You know, the Psalms are full of blessings. I think we think of blessings, you know, we associate most with the Sermon on the Mount. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and so on. But have you ever thought of the blessings there are in the Psalms? Well, in the book of Revelation, it finishes with seven blessings. In fact, there's a blessing for just reading the book of Revelation. But the Psalms are full of blessings. They start, actually, the first word in the Psalms is, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But here's another blessing. Blessing is the man whose strength is in thee. Now, as you get older, you realize, oh, you need strength. And you begin to realize, too, it's not just physical strength, but you need strength, spiritual strength, to do the will of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing towards the end of his life, 6 years before he died, actually, in the Philippian epistle, says, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, we're faced with many things in life, aren't we? And the all-important thing is this, that when we are faced with things, you know, we don't throw up our hands and say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. But we turn to God and say, oh God, give me your strength. Strengthen me. And I need that on the long flights, I mean. Strength of God, because after the flight, I get down from hours in a plane. I have often to go into a meeting, you see. I have to have the strength of God. And I want you to enter into that blessing. You know, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee. And look at this, in verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Rain also filleth the pools. What is the valley of Baca? It's the valley of sorrows. The valley of sorrows. You know, the man whose strength is in the Lord transforms that valley of sorrow into a well of living water, whereby the sorrow that he's passed through, you know, and he's triumphed in that sorrow by the strength of the Lord, that sorrow has brought forth such joy and life, so that he becomes a well of life-giving water to those around him. And what to others would have been a sorrow, a pining, a drying up of their soul, to the one who lives with God, you know, that sorrow is transformed into wonderful joy, and you can give strength to others through it. And also in verse 7, you see, they go from strength to strength. Everyone in Zion appeareth before God. You know, the King David spoke so much about Zion. He said, who shall go up to the hill of the Lord? Who shall dwell in his holy place? And that speaks of Mount Zion, you see. That's the hill that he was speaking of. And the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are called unto Zion, the hill of his holiness. Well, now, look what we find in Zion, we find that we go from strength to strength. As we live in spiritual Zion, we go from strength to strength. And moreover, everyone in Zion appears before God. Oh, how wonderful it is to enjoy the presence of God constantly in your life. And then moving on, it says this, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. You know, one of the marvelous things is this, that as we live uprightly before God, God will hear our prayers. You say, well, you know, when we pray, God hears everything. Yes, he does, but it does say in the Word of God that God will shut his ears to our prayers if we don't live uprightly. So you see, our requests to God are so dependent upon the way we live. And in living right, you make the right prayers too. You ask God for the right things. Well, here we go on. And in verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Look upon the face of thine anointed. One of the things that is a great blessing in the Word of God is this. God speaking to Moses and saying to Moses, I know you by name. I know you by name. All the billions on the world, surface of the world today, of course, God knows everyone. But will he recognize everyone? No, he will not. In fact, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that was addressed to Pentecostal Christians who do miracles and so forth. So we've got to be very careful. You see, when we look at the Word of God, this basically is only read by Christians. And so, really, you know, we're talking about ourselves, aren't we? Fellow believers. See, and we want to be like David, old David. You know, you knew God in such an intimate manner. Lord, I want to know you like David knew you. In a very intimate way. David could go into the tabernacle, which was a tent, and in that tent was the Ark of the Covenant, speaking of the presence of God. And he could go in there and just muse and sit before God and talk to God. And God would answer. You see, we want that intimate relationship with God. Oh God, look upon our face. You know, that was part of the priestly blessing, wasn't it? You know, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. In Numbers chapter 7, you see. Was it 6? Numbers 6, sorry. And Lord bless thee. Lord bless thee. Make his face to shine upon thee. Oh, how beautiful that is. Well, we move on. And here in verse 9, see, behold, O God, our shield. Our shield. You know, a shield is that which deflects the darts of the enemy. And oh, how wonderful it is to have God as our shield. And all the darts of the enemy, all the words and so forth, the acts that they do against us, you know, God is there with a shield. You know, I once was in the presence of certain people who were not good people. And they were speaking all kinds of things against me and saying terrible things. And you know, I had this wonderful experience. It was as though glass was put between us. No, there was no glass, but it looked as though glass was put between us. And all their words were bouncing off this glass Well, I was rejoicing in the presence of God. It was such a wonderful experience, you know, to have God deflecting the darts of the enemy. Well, and here we have it in verse 10. How do we sum up our life? What are the highlights in our life? Well, surely the highlights in our life are basically those times when we've been very conscious of the presence of God. Those times when we can look back and say, oh, God spoke to me. There was a new chapter in my life that opened up there. And we say, oh, that was so precious. That was so precious. Oh, I felt the Lord so near to me. He spoke to me. He gave me assurances. He gave me promises. You see, well, this is what King David is saying here. He says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said, that which counts in my life is the presence of God. You see, you know, I can remember certain wonderful meetings that I have experienced over the years. Meetings where I have seen the presence of God, seen the Lord, experienced the quickening of power in my body. Oh, they were such wonderful things. You know, one of the things that's so precious to me is an old Welsh pastor. Old Welsh pastor. And the young brother who led me to the Lord knew this pastor. And he said to this pastor, will you pray for my friend who I just led to the Lord? And the old pastor was very gracious, and it so arranged that the three of us were going to pray. And of course, you know, the old pastor was in one corner of the room, my friend in another, and I in another. And I'm afraid our prayers didn't produce much. But when this pastor prayed, oh, the presence of God, you could smell his fragrance. Oh, it was so wonderful. And then he said this. He said, Lord, lay thine hand upon that young man. And you know, I felt the hand of God upon my shoulder. Well, it's times like that that mean so much in a life, you see. And that's what King David, he said, just a day in thy presence is worth a thousand. He said, rather be a doorkeeper, rather have the privilege of just sweeping the floor of the sanctuary, as it were, than dwelling, you know, with the wicked, their high tables. Oh, what is precious in thy sight? Is it not when he has spoken to you, when he's given you a present, a promise, when you've read the word of God and something lights up within you, you say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, what we're looking at in this psalm is what King David felt was important. It was encounters with God. And I want you to pray for those encounters. And then it goes on in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, isn't that beautiful? You know, there's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. You know, the Apostle Paul was saying the same thing in Romans 8. And he said, look, if God gave Christ for us, then no good thing would he withhold from us. With him would he give all things. And I want to leave you with that thought in mind. the goodness of God and how God will not withhold anything from us, providing we walk uprightly with him. What are your needs? He will provide. What are your needs? He will provide if we walk uprightly. And you see, here is the condition. As we look at the last verse, verse 12, look at that beautiful promise. O Lord of hosts, blessed. Again, we have this word blessed, don't we? You see, so often the Psalms are filled with this word blessed. Blessed is the man who do this. Blessed is the man who does it. And look, here it is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You know, I want to encourage you. You know, the Christian life is filled with difficulties, but the Christian life is filled with victories as we trust the Lord. I want you to look at the Lord and say, Lord, meet with me. Give me promises, Lord. And, oh God, the things that I'm facing today, oh Lord, I'm going to trust you to bring me out victoriously, and that you will glorify your name in me. And I tell you this, when you do, you have a fresh and a new song in your heart. And oh, you know, everything looks so different, you know, when we've encountered God. And so may your life be filled with those precious encounters with God, as David experienced. God bless you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace and rest. Amen.